So maybe the advice is, this doesn't have to be your forever career. If this is something you're curious about and you really want to pour your time and passion into, you can do that. And if 5 years later you realize, you know what, this isn't what I want to do for a living, then you can go find another career.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase your lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
Hey guys, good morning and welcome to None of Your Business. Today is actually a very special Sunday. Yes, we are recording this on a Sunday and we're really breaking the norms and living with the theme of this podcast. I am with a very special guest who is a coach and a consultant that prides himself on helping teams do their best work. He believes in being decisive and learning quickly and in pivoting when it's needed. We can take our work seriously without taking ourselves too seriously. He's also a very good customer success consultant that helps executives in B2B SaaS hit their revenue targets. And a lot of people also actually come to him to get his advice on building their brand as a leader. So my special guest is Bob Mathers. Welcome, Bob. And how are you feeling today?
Great, Carla. Thanks for having me. I know this has moved around a little bit, but I'm excited we're finally making it happen.
I know, me too. I was, like I shared before we started recording, I was really looking forward to this conversation because when we were talking about what we were going to talk about, this really stood out to me. And today we are going to talk about purpose. So it definitely feels very Sunday, very get your hot cup of tea or cup of coffee and stare at the distance kind of thing. So yeah, let's start. What does the word purpose mean to you?
Well, I think what you and your listeners will figure out pretty quickly is that I don't have a great answer for any of these things, but it's been, and that's really part of the challenge, right? And that's something that I've been thinking a lot about lately. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and reflecting on it lately. And so that's a good question. What is purpose? I think it's, you know, it's kind of like, what kind of mark do you want to leave on the world, or something around what is it that you have? What is uniquely you that nobody else can do? And how are you going to shape that into being of service somehow to people? So it's a complicated kind of messy mishmash of things. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have a great answer for it. How do you define purpose?
I think that is kind of in the same way, the word that I relate to it more is like a mission.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like you said, because it's unique, it's very individual. And I think that every person has their own mission. But also keeping in mind that because we have free will, we that mission could change depending where you are in life, and that we can also, I also want to believe that it is not kind of set for us, really. I'm more of a free will person than, oh, you know, everything happens for a reason. There's you, God made this happen. I believe in like the human will and personal determination more. So, where are you on that kind of spectrum?
Yeah, I kind of flip-flop a little bit on it. But yeah, I think that's a good point. I think people's purpose or their understanding of what they have to offer changes, right? Like, I guess the story that I've always been told, or at least I had rattling around in my head, is that there were these small group of people that were fortunate enough early on to understand their purpose, and they knew when they were 8 years old the only thing they ever wanted to do, and they did that, and they just seemed to be happy and healthy and living their best life. And I'm like, that doesn't at all explain how I live my life. I'm 54 years old, and I'm still figuring out what I want to do for work. And I'm getting closer, but it's much more of a circular, messy conversation than it is this fairy tale linear thing that everyone's supposed to have figured out early on.
Yeah, that's right. Especially when you tie it to work, which is a huge part of our identity. I remember the story of the Airbnb founder who admitted that he was incredibly depressed after he sold his company because he feels like he doesn't know what to do with his time and the money. And he, because obviously he can't build another Airbnb, that was his thing. And this is also one of the reasons why Mark Zuckerberg never sold, because he's like, well, what am I going to do? This is what I wanted to do. I'm going to keep doing this. And he was feeling very strongly about it. I feel like how deeply our work is tied to our purpose sometimes could be a quite a slippery slope, huh? And it sometimes it could also be a source of limitation. I ask myself the same thing. Will I exit? Will I not? Is this going to be what I'm doing? There's so many things I wanted to do as well, to be honest.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that have changed fairly recently. About 3 years ago, I quit drinking, and so I got sober, and so that I felt a sense of urgency to kind of make up for lost time, because I'd written off, a few hundred weekends of my life where I wasn't exactly living my best life. So that happened. And then about a year ago, we had a really serious health scare with my son. He had been sick for a couple of months. And we had gone to the doctor. He'd been on prescription antibiotics. He had gotten a little better, then it was getting worse. And then we went out to a family dinner one night, and he collapsed. And we rushed him to the hospital. He had a CAT scan, and he had a mass on his brain that was almost 7 centimeters, which doesn't sound big, but apparently, as I learned, that's actually very, very big. And it could have been a lot of things. It could have been a lot of worse. Could have been a lot worse. The good news is it was an infection that had spread from his sinuses into his brain, and less than 24 hours they sawed open his skull and drained it, and he was on some other pretty heavy drugs for another 2 months, and he was perfectly fine. But or he is perfectly fine, but obviously it was terrifying. We didn't know how it was going to end. It could have been very bad. And in the wake of that, we all go through these things, and sometimes it's a loss of a loved one, or sometimes it's a health scare. Having something like that happen to your kid is like a parent's worst nightmare, right? But you end up in this kind of bubble where the night before we had all this had happened, and my wife and I were basically up for 3 days straight at the hospital while he was in surgery and waiting for to hear how everything had gone. Like, the night before all that happened, I was probably waking up at 2 in the morning, worried about some deliverable I owed a client, or some meetings coming up, or, bills I forgot to pay, or I had to go put on winter tires, like all this stuff. And in an instant, right, when I saw that text from my wife that said there's a mass on his brain, everything disappeared. And there was one thing that mattered. And I always think, how could you live in that? Like, could you find a way to live in that clarity where none of this other bullshit matters, and you were always focused on your loved one and everything that mattered to you, if you could live that way, be that present, you would be aligned with your purpose. Like, that is probably what our, you know, cavemen thousands of years ago worried about. They worried about, you know, they wanted to have sex, they wanted to eat, and they wanted to sleep. And that's all they had to worry about. And, but you know what? Despite right. all my efforts, 2 or 3 weeks later, after we knew everything was fine and life kind of snaps back into its original shape, you're awake at 2 a.m. worrying about those same stupid things. And I'm like, fuck, why does this have to be so much work to stay present and find meaning in life?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I resonate with that. I think that's where like the mindfulness thing really is important, because putting spaces in your day, sometimes these things just require a little pause, right? Mm. It's like sometimes when you fight with your spouse, I experienced this, and we're yelling about something or we were arguing about something. And if we just pause and think about what is important, the thing that we're actually fighting about is stupid.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've seen this happen to me so many times. I started meditating 5 years ago and I've never looked back. And just that little pause, just taking a breath really, really helps in diluting what is not important. I grew up in the Philippines, and for people like me, America was the finish line. And when I got to America, I got overwhelmed with the things that I have to do to look successful or a certain way. I had to wear makeup. I felt like I have to wear makeup all the time, heels, dress a certain way, have a certain car, buy certain purses, just like all this covering up. And then I was becoming less and less me. And then now I don't have all of those things, and I'm much happier and healthier. And it was just, now I look back, it was just a matter of, if I just took time to pause, do I like this outfit? Does this car make me happy? You know, like just things like that. Like, wearing heels is really painful. Is it even worth, I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing. I was in daze. I was sleepwalking through life almost.
Yeah. I mean, on my podcast, it's amazing how many times that has come up, right? Where it's like people, and I think about this more often now that my kids are kind of young adults, they're in college and sort of they're thinking about what they want to do in their 20s. And it makes me realize, like, yeah, you're right. I went to high school. I got good enough marks to go to school. So I went to school. I moved away. I graduated. I got a job. Then I got another job. Then I got promoted. Then I got another job. Like, I never thought once until probably my 40s or 50s, or maybe till I got sober. I don't know. But it was never any like, what really makes me happy? It was just like, oh, that's more money. I guess I'll take that job. Or that sounds fun. I'll take that job. It's not terrible. And it worked out. I'm very grateful and fortunate. But, and I guess why it comes back to my kids is that I just hope that they don't feel that pressure. Like, I do think there's something to be said for having a little fun maybe in your 20s and exploring what you want to do, because once you kind of get locked into that mortgage way of life, your financial freedom is kind of taken away. So I don't know. That's kind of what prompted a lot of thinking on this, just watching my kids go through it and hoping that they don't feel like they just have to sleepwalk through life, just because that's kind of what happens if you don't pay attention, right? It's just sort of like that inertia,
you wake
and that
up
momentum.
And you're 50. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what really stood out to me based on what you shared with your experience with the different jobs and seeing your kids as young adults, maybe getting their first jobs or something, is how honestly unfortunate it is that a huge part of our identity has to be tied to the way we make our living. And it is, because that is just how the world works. We need money to live. We need money to survive. In fact, we need money to even do the things that mean a lot to us. Like, if I had unlimited money, I would have a private jet and I would just see the people I love all the time, right? If I had unlimited money, you know, it's not even that I want to buy this car or this purse, or it's not anymore. What advice would you give your kid so that they don't kind of fall into that trap with keeping in balance or keeping in mind that it is still reasonable to go after the money, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if giving advice to kids really works because they don't, right? I wouldn't have listened to advice. Of course, that's the thing. Like wisdom is wasted on, or what is it? Youth is wasted on the young. Like you can tell them whatever you want. They're not going to listen. It's just more about the conversations that you have. And maybe the best you can hope for is one day they'll pay attention. Like, yeah, my dad was right when he said that 3 years ago. But I think it's really just more that they don't feel pressure. And it doesn't mean they don't need a job. They do. But this idea, it's so funny. My wife's a teacher. And so at least here in Canada, there's a strong teachers union. So you kind of get a job when you're a teacher and you like when you graduate teachers college and you get a job when you're 23, you're a teacher till you retire. They make good money, they get summers off. But it's the job has changed so much. And I only mention that because that we, that's how my grandparents worked too. Like they worked their ass off, and then 65 years old, they got a gold watch and they retired, and they probably died 5 years later. And this idea that careers are kind of like you have one career. And I'm like, no, the latest research with AI and healthcare says my kids could really live to be 120 years old. They're going to have five or six careers. So maybe the advice is, this doesn't have to be your forever career. If this is something you're curious about and you really want to pour your time and passion into, you can do that. And if 5 years later you realize, you know what, this isn't what I want to do for a living, then you can go find another career.
I guess that's where the being smart about money comes in, right? Like, I guess the motivation is, well, if you save right and maybe invest a little bit, make it regular, if you're smart about your money, then this gives you a better and better cushion for when you maybe even want to take a gap year or a
Yeah.
sabbatical, right? So I really admire my husband because he's so much better at money than me. And when he, after almost a decade in corporate, he was able to take a little bit of break, a little bit of sabbatical, and without feeling any pressure, he golfed just like every day and just feeling relaxed. And now he's in a different career. He's starting his business. And I really admired that. I personally didn't have that wisdom. When I changed careers, changed businesses, it was because I saw another opportunity and I jumped there, and then I made it work. And it's another thing. It goes back to where if I just took a little bit of time to pause and sit with myself, this is always my best advice. Like, sitting with yourself and really thinking is the best life coaching. Sometimes the best life coaching you can ever get, because you know yourself more. You just need silence and time. What for you is the opposite of having a purpose? And have you seen anyone close to you that has experienced this in a very, how do I say, kind of in a defeating way? And what did that look like?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's opposite, but I do see people. So it's interesting at I call it the autumn of my career,
The
right?
autumn.
Where, yeah, so I still like to think I've got a lot to offer, and so maybe I've got another 10 years in me. I work in tech, and I really don't know if anybody's hiring a customer success coach at 65 in tech. That's hard to imagine. But maybe I'll dye my hair and, try to pull off 55 for a few more years.
55 plus
But
tax.
yeah. But yeah, I don't see that, but I do see people in pretty they're not miserable, but they're just kind of like riding it out. Right,
I
and they're
hear
just
you.
like, yeah, I don't hate my job, I don't love it, but it gives me nothing in return. But I got to do this for another 2 or 3 years, and then I'll ride off into the sunset, and I can travel and golf with my spouse and my buddies, etc. And but I've heard these pe same people keep pushing that timeline out more and more, right? And they're like, well, if we can just do this and we just have X number of dollars in the bank, then we can do whatever we want. And I'm like, if you had told your 25-year-old self that you have the amount of money that you have right now, you'd be like, are you kidding me? I would never work again in my life. Like, it's never enough. And you could liquidate everything you own and be the richest person in the country in some places on earth. Like, you could live to be, you could live in paradise if you wanted to. So, you know, it's all so relative. And yeah, it's just never enough. I, during the pandemic, I took this really interesting course online, and it's put, and there's this professor at Yale. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She's pretty famous. I didn't realize it. Her name's Dr. Lori somebody. We could put the link in the show notes. And it's really about the science of happiness and a lot of positive psychology.
Yes. I remember this class.
Yes. And it was free. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And she's actually got a podcast called The Happiness Lab. And one of the things, there's a few things I took away from that course, but one is that once your basic needs are met, everybody, if you ask people, you know, how much, what do you need to be happy? And a lot of people say, I just need another 10, 15% more money, and then I'll be perfectly happy. And the truth is that they do that, and it doesn't change their measures of happiness at all. And so, like once you get to be like, you can earn a living wage. So I don't know, depending on where you live, but let's say you make $100,000. Making double that doesn't make you any happier. Making triple that doesn't make you any happier. Right. So it's, but it, of course, that's what most people say. I just need a little bit more. I just need a little bit more.
Yeah. It's like when happiness is like a hanging thing that is right there and that you need. It is a thing that you run towards. I think that's a problem because it is, you're operating already with lack, right? You're operating with the idea of lack. And if you're starting there, then you're already feeling like there's not enough. But I feel like if you're starting to, I'm really happy now. And I think gratitude has a lot of a contribution to it as well. Like, I think that every person has a privilege in one way or another. Like, I grew up poor in a poor country, but I've had a lot of privileges. Like, my parents had a really good relationship, and both of my parents were really smart people. My mom was always valedictorian, really smart. My dad had two engineering degrees, super smart. They loved reading books and everything. And well, I have their DNA. I think that I believe I'm above average in terms of like maybe like compared to other people in terms of like what how I did in school and things like that. And so I think even having complete limbs and your senses that your both of your eyes can see, right? I think that's a great privilege that not other people can have. And if we took a little bit more time to realize in gratitude the things that we have instead of focusing on the things that we don't have, we have so much and it's overwhelming how much we have. So, but it's not an easy journey to get there. Did you have any experience about like a big realization of like gratitude that that you can think about right now?
Well, yeah, I mentioned my son's health scare. So that was definitely something. But it does strike me, and I do spend a lot of time, I try to, being grateful. I've also, you mentioned meditation. I started doing this thing called Morning Pages, which is from a book called The Artist's Way about how to foster kind of creativity. And every morning you get up, and you basically write three pages. Just it's the first thing I do. I make myself a coffee. I sit down. This was a my wife has been telling me that I should read this book for years, and I'm a really slow learner because most of the things that she tells me to do, it takes me forever to do it. And then of course, and then usually, honestly, the hilarious thing is it's a conversation like this. We're like, oh my God, I talked to this great person. Her name's Carla. She told me I should read this book called The Artist's Way. And my wife just loses it because she's like, you asshole. I've been telling you that for 10 years. And so, but anyway, it's a bit, it's very meditative, and it's, and it strikes me as all these practices that seem to be we have really have to take so much intention to be grateful, etc. Like, I don't think our grandparents ever had to do morning pages or meditation or any of this stuff. And
Affirmations, what
Yeah.
else?
And it's
Motivational
like, now
podcasts.
maybe they weren't, and I think they were pretty happy. I think it's this comparison, a lot of it is kind of this comparison culture and the unhappiness around social media and always comparing
True.
ourselves to other people and imposter syndrome. It's like, nope, we have to actually put 2 hours a day into just trying to be our normal human selves because the world is wired for making us anxious and scared and feeling like we're not good enough.
Yeah, and you know what? Now that you say that, like, what is the alternative for our parents and grandparents? I think this is where I really appreciate religion, because prayer, I think, is one of the highest form of meditation. And in prayer, you know, that I'm Catholic, I grew up Catholic, and they always say you start with gratitude, you thank the Lord for the things that you have, and then you ask forgiveness. And so when you ask for forgiveness, you start looking at yourself and you start being self-aware. Sorry for doing this. I am aware of my sins. And then you ask, which is almost like your affirmations, right? It's, I think that that religion, I really appreciate how religion became kind of the self-care, I guess, of my parents and my grandparents, because my parents were very religious people, and I did have a moment of, I hate God. I'm an atheist when my parents passed away because I was so angry. But now I'm starting to appreciate it more, and I think that that's their version now that I think about it, and it helps save them, even though without this motivational podcasts and breath work and meditation, whatever we're doing now.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're right. Yeah, I was how old were you when your parents passed away?
My dad passed away. I was 23, and then my mom passed away. I was 28.
Okay. Yeah, my dad passed away when I was 23 too. My mom's still alive, but yeah, I was like super angry and yeah, pissed off at God. And now I wasn't really a particularly religious person anyway, so it's a bit different than yours, but I can see how that religious being born, I wasn't raised religious, and so I didn't have that grounding, right? So I can see that although I consider myself maybe a more spiritual person and I've been thinking a lot more about it lately, I can see how that religion at least would give you some grounding across generations. And without that, it's kind of up to people to explore and figure it out themselves, which is very healthy and great. But teenagers aren't going to do that, right? Like if they're not born up, if grown up with it, they'll probably figure it out. My kids will probably figure it out. Now, they did go to Catholic school when they were younger, and they, but I don't think they describe themselves particularly religious. But anyway, I think they will figure it out on their own eventually, which is kind of what we all do.
And however, for me, what I'm also kind of nervous about is because of the exposure of kids to the internet, sometimes I feel like there's an overwhelm of psycho speak. You know what I mean? And like, now we have attachment styles, five love languages. We are so like cognitive behavioral therapy. It's like my nieces and nephews that are like 20 years old just spit out these things, and like, what? Yeah, are you taking like a minor in psychology? It's like sometimes I feel like there's an overwhelm of psychospeak as well, calling people that you don't like narcissists just because you think, you know. I think there's like a slippery slope there too. It's almost like too much self-care and individuality. That there's a name for everything, and because there's a name for everything and an overwhelm of words, there's a disincentive to look inwards again, and that's what I'm nervous about.
Everybody's looking for really quick meme type answers. Right, and wants to sound
Twitter.
smart and enlightened.
Exactly. I remember when I was in college, I was reading this book. It was a requirement, The Purpose-Driven Life. It was a very famous book. Have you heard of it, of the book?
I have heard of it. Maybe I've read it, but not in decades.
Yeah, decades ago. Yeah, exactly. So I remember that it was pretty good. It was just like It was literally like, be good to yourself, be good to your neighbors, just kind of something like go after something that's good. That is your mission. It was very, very positive. And then I feel like all the other self-care books were just kind of versions of that book. But one thing that was repeated in that book was that having something that transcends you or that is bigger than yourself. And I think so many people define that in different ways. What do you personally, how do you personally define that when you say, I want something that is bigger than me or transcends me? What is that for you?
I th thought about it in a couple different ways. One of the things I do believe is that in this idea of connection and that we are better together. So, for example, when I work with, and I've been thinking about this in terms of how can I bring that, whether it's a sense of purpose, to my work. And I really do believe that, for example, when I'm working with customers, they have ideas, I have ideas. They don't hire me to just fire my ideas at them. It's the best work is when we collaborate and we come up with things that neither one of us would have come up with on our own and that are uniquely a little bit of them, a little bit of me. And because they own it, because it's as much theirs as it is mine, it's going to live after I'm gone because I'm a coach and consultant and I'm here a little while, but they're going to be at that company for years and I'm not going to be there to hold their hand all the way through. And that's the biggest problem with a lot of these kind of relationships with consultants and coaches is that as soon as I leave, everything kind of falls apart because it was kind of Bob's framework or Bob's idea or Bob's recommendation. It's like, well, no, it's got to be ours. And I do think there's something to this idea of connection. And then, of course, that expands well beyond my work with my relationships and my family. It's like, yeah, I think that's something I'm going to explore a little bit more is how this idea of connection and how I can use my unique kind of talents in my podcast, in my work, with my relationships.
Yeah, I think I noticed that you mentioned a lot of ideas about leaving something that lasts longer than you, like a legacy, leaving your mark or something like that. To be honest, I am kind of on the fence about that because I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit more stoic and it's like I don't really care a lot about leaving something behind or a legacy. I mean, if I become super rich and they name this library after me because I donated a lot of money, I feel like it's going to be forgotten after three generations. And I also think, well, you know what? When I'm dead, I probably won't care because I can't. So, how do you feel about that idea? Or is it because you have children that you're more, and I don't, that you're more concerned about leaving a legacy so that they can have something to be proud about?
Yeah, that's exactly it. All I really care about is that I'm somebody that my kids can be proud of when I'm gone. And maybe my grandkids, if I get a chance to meet them, but they'll be young when I'm gone, right? So you're right, like three generations, two generations, we'll be a in three generations, we might still be a faded brown photo on somebody's wall, like on the stairwell or in the kitchen, you know how they
On
do that? Yeah, but
Facebook.
after that, it's it. There's like they'll be moving out. It's like, who are these people again? I don't know. Throw them in the bin, give them to Value Village or the thrift shop, or throw them in the garbage. Like that's it. Like in 100 years, anybody that knows you will be gone. Be strangers living in your house, and so yeah, it's only because of kids that I care. Did you hear Mike Tyson's interview? It's hilarious. You should look it up. So I don't know when this goes to air, but this is obviously
The
happening on
latest
the heels of the
one.
big fight between him and Jake Paul. And he was interviewed shortly before that fight by a 12-year-old reporter. She was adorable. And she asked him a question about his legacy. And she probably expected him to, come up with some, pithy little soundbite. And he basically said, yeah, legacy doesn't mean anything to me. Like once I'm gone, I'm dead and I'm worm food and I'm gonna do the best while I'm here, and once I'm gone, I'm dead. And I'm like, yeah, I also really like that way of thinking because this coming back to this idea of purpose, always thinking about purpose, always thinking about legacy. That's, and I think Tyson even said this, like, you're just living in the future. Like, I'm going to live right here, right now. And when I'm gone, that's all there is.
Yeah, that's why I like that concept, the Die with Zero. You heard
Yeah.
about that book, right? It was so funny. Today I was having brunch with my friend who's a mom, and we were talking about generational wealth and all of that. And then she was like, "So, how are you doing, like your will or whatever? How are you dividing your assets when you die or something?" And I'm like, "I don't think I'm leaving anything behind. I'm gonna enjoy my money and as much as possible. I don't want my kids to not work. I don't want to set them up to where they won't work so that they'll be comfortable. I want them to work. I want them to find their purpose. I want them to contribute to society. Because I've seen it happen during the pandemic when people were so depressed because they cannot do their work. They've been stripped off of a huge part of their identity. And for me, as a business owner, I honor workers and employees a lot because they devote a full-time employee of mine devotes a third of her life for my vision, not hers. And that is such an honor. And this is why, like, I try to be like the best boss that I can, but also I always tell my people, I would love if you guys, this is not your mission. You guys tell me what your mission is, and then I can help you for the next step. I don't expect you to work here all your life, but while you're here, I'm going to help you develop the skills and make the connections so to set you up for the next step. And I feel like that's how I get the best of them while they're with me. But I genuinely believe in, I'm definitely more on the fence of Mike Tyson when it's like, I'm just going to have fun here on Earth, because who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah, I'm going to spend my last nickel just as my eyes close for the last time.
Like like my friends and I had this funny mental exercise. Like, when you die, when you're actually in the coffin, do you even think about like your outfit? Does it even matter what jewelry you're wearing? Or because I always joke to my husband, like, please make me look pretty in my coffin. Like, please make sure that the makeup artist knows my color. And he was like, babe, you're so dreary. And like, don't say that. I'm like, no, I need you to know. I need you to know this. And if I get in an accident and I'm ugly, don't open, like, don't. Or get me a plastic surgery before
Yeah.
showing my face. He was like, babe, that's not important. And I also realized, well, I'm going to be dead. So when is the last moment where you're supposed to spend your last dollar, right? It's almost like, that was a thing in the book too. It's like, die with zero, but how do you properly plan? You don't really know when you're gonna die, so you still have to kind. They still said that you still kind of have to put something away, obviously buy insurance and things like that, and set aside some assets for the inheritance tax or something.
Yeah, I do think about that a lot. And well, I don't think about it a lot. I had a guest on my podcast. She is a hospice nurse.
Oh.
And so she has watched thousands of people die. And she wrote a book called Seven Lessons for the Living from Stories of the Dying. And basically, the seven things that she's learned by watching people, die over and over again. And she comes back to forgiveness and, God, of course. I wish I could remember more of them now. But the thing that I took away is that it's almost like everybody, the reason she wrote the book is because she's like, I don't want to wait until the end of my life. A lot of these people were figuring out the importance of family, or that they had worked too much, or that they had kind of, like you said, stumbled through life. Living just did what society thought they should do, other than and instead of doing what they really wanted to do, and all of the regrets that they had around the things they hadn't done. She's like, I don't want to do all that, so I'm going to write this book about it. And sort of leads me to, I thought, so that's interesting. So I think what you're saying is everybody figures out the secret to life, except you figure it out at the very end.
Yeah, that's kind of
Like,
sad,
and she,
huh? And
yeah,
a little
exactly. So she's
scary.
like, no, I'm going to take all these lessons and I'm going to try to put it out there. But the funny thing is, she said, but she's like, but nobody wants to talk about it. So, right, it's just one of these things we don't want to talk about. It's like, well, it's coming, and there are some probably some lessons that you should learn before you close your eyes for the last time.
I know. And that's why I feel like we need to bring our bucket lists back. We need to really, I'm very open to doing random stuff. I love doing bucket list stuff. I love doing something crazy that people are almost like, why and how was it? And like, things like that. If it's something as funny as like, I took a little bit MDMA during a John Mayer concert. It was awesome. It was awesome. I love John Mayer. And then I went to Maldives and I played this big poker tournament and I went to this poetry workshop and I love doing these different things. It makes life longer almost.
I love that. You're right. If it's worth doing now, right? Like all the,
Exactly.
how many people have
Exactly.
planned for their retirement and saved up this big nest egg and had all their, oh, I'm going to do all these things when I retire, and some of them never get there, or, I do. Yeah, I think about that a lot. That does sound awesome, doing Molly at a John Mayer concert.
Maybe that's what you're doing for your 55th birthday.
I know. My honestly, I had an opportunity to do some psilocybin, like mushrooms, kind of clinical, what do you call it? Like a therapy. Like it's they
Assisted.
give you mushroom, yeah, mush, and you're with a clinician for a few hours, and they guide you through this thing. And I was almost doing it, but like I said, I've been sober for about 3 years, and my wife was like, she wasn't really sure about it. And when I thought about it, I'm like, there's a good chance that I just want to get fucked up again. So maybe that's not the right reason to do this. And I don't think that's the reason, but I'm like, even if there's a 1% chance that I'm going to enjoy this a little too much, because it's supposed to be clinical therapy and it's could be uncomfortable and it's supposed to uncover some things and you're not supposed to really enjoy it. I'm like, maybe I'm not quite ready for that. But I do think that a lot of that's coming too. So.
Well, so what are some things in your bucket list? Maybe two or three that you can share.
Well, I don't really have, I really try to not put things off. Like, I can't think of anything that's like, oh,
You do
yeah,
it
I really want to
immediately.
do it. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to think I do, right? The only things I can think of are like when I think when I'm happiest, I am outside being active with my family. So every year we do a couple of trips, and I have kids, they're boys. And they're, 19 and 22. So like I always describe, we're in the pocket. Like they still want to travel with us. We travel with my in-laws, my brother and sister-in-law, and my niece and nephew, who are awesome. They're great friends with their cousins. So there's like eight of us, and we go skiing or we'll go hiking in different places. But we're in the pocket. Like once they graduate from school and get jobs, all of a sudden they've got 2 weeks vacation and they're not going on, week-long excursions with us here and there. So we try to do that, a couple of times a year. And that's honestly, right now, that's all I want to do. Like that's all I really want to spend my money on.
Same. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, absolutely, exactly the same. If my sister, one of my sisters is a nurse, so she has it's really tough for her to find like that perfect PTO. Because they have to, all the other nurses, they all kind of talk and like who's taking this month off and that month, and they have to plan it properly. So we're kind of limited in that. But yeah, any something active, something with the family, or like trying new things, like new food, a new cuisine, going to a new country. If I had unlimited money, I would just spend it all on that. For me personally, some of the crazy things in my bucket list would definitely be. I want to play in the World Series of Poker, the cruise one. I think that will be fun. That will be really fun because I lived in Vegas and I played poker before, but I haven't played in the World Series. So it's definitely, I will definitely do that. And then in the past, I used to like want to climb this mountain, but now I'm just like, I don't even want to climb the fourth floor, you know? So let's be real here. Let's be real. And then I still want to be in the jungle and just read for a month. I still want to do that. I'm sure I can do that very soon.
That's amazing. And you've challenged me to kind of think about those things. I haven't been thinking much about that. But I probably should. I like that. And I really like you. God, you got some great things on your bucket list. I do try to say yes to more things. Like that's what
Yes,
my
that
wife
is
and I
good
are trying
too.
to, yeah.
That is really good. That is a really good attitude to have because it is also, I think the energy of being open to being fascinated. This was my principle when I was single. Every day, I don't know why. Some of the girls around me were just like, oh, guys, they suck and can't find a good guy. And I'm like, I don't know. Every date I had is kind of good. Sometimes they
Yeah.
even turn it, there's no romantic chemistry, but they become clients, so it's a great
Yeah.
bonus. And then but I always had I had this habit of when I'm taxi, I'm in the Uber going to the date, I actually take time to close my eyes and imagine having a great date and then allowing myself to be fascinated. That's what I always think about, and I think that's how I became with life too. I say yes to a lot of things. Yesterday I surprised my husband. I told him, oh, hey, I found this form online that registers. I want to volunteer at the Korn Ferry Tour, which is
Oh
like
yeah.
the
Horse.
because we're golfers and they're doing an exhibition. They're doing one tour here in Riviera Maya, PGA Riviera Maya. I thought it would be fun, and then he was like, "What?" He was like, he couldn't believe it. It's like he's not used to how crazy I am, and he signed up too. And it's now it's like our bucket list that we're fulfilling something. Yeah, so it's fun.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I do believe too that because you're open to it and you're open to being fascinated, that that opportunities present themselves and you see things that maybe your friends wouldn't see. I mean, sure, maybe your friends that were closed off, if they saw that, they would just delete it or ignore it. But I'm guessing they would never even see it. I do believe that there's something to that as well.
Absolutely. That's the concept of your reticular activating system, right? It's like you're whatever you're aware of, you're going to start
Yes.
seeing it. It's like
Right.
the red car principle. Yeah, I love that.
That
I love that.
is amazing. The Korn Ferry Tour. That would be it. That would be really interesting. You know, that whole golf thing is so amazing. Like it's like so many sports. Like you watch the PGA and you think, oh my God, these guys have got like the best life. Yeah. If you watch the top 20 golfers in the world, they got a great life. Those guys at the bottom that are fighting for their card like season after
Oh my
season,
God.
they're not staying in the same hotels
Yeah.
that those guys are. They're
I
scraping by,
know.
maybe living in a motor home,
I
like
know.
barely written by. And
Their
then they,
wives are probably working two jobs so they can
yeah.
do this thing.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the
And
Korn Ferry Tour would be crazy. Like it's just people that are trying to, I don't know. Did they get sponsors, I guess, but I don't think they get paid.
yeah.
They get paid a little bit.
Yeah, they're younger, right? It's
Yep.
like these are like the before they get to like the big boys club, I
Yeah.
guess. So it's a great it's like a more youthful energy. And I'm really curious. I'm really curious. I like that. Even these random raffle, online raffle, I always tell my husband, go for it. Go just join that raffle. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, the universe picks you and you have to be ready, right? And it's random, but I think it's pretty good to live life that way because it just makes every day kind of start out positive.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I've got a friend who goes in. She loves that stuff and she's putting herself in all kinds of raffles and she'll win things every once in a while. And everybody else is like, how do you win this? I never win anything. And they're like, well, how often do you go into them? Well, I don't anymore because I
Exactly.
never won. It's like, well, you understand that you have to go in to win and you are going to win eventually if you put yourself in enough little hats.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, I gotta tell you something. So my mom loves those things. She loves those raffle things. She even buys the envelopes and because you need to put the whatever thing there for the raffle, right? And then I always told my mom, it's like, oh my gosh, these envelopes, you know, it's part of like your budget and it's just a waste of money. But she did win a few gift cards and all that. But the funnest thing that we won this was a huge kind of core memory to me, is we won a 3 minute unlimited grocery. So for four people, for my whole family, it was my three sisters and my mom. We all had carts, and then the supermarket was like, 3, 2, 1, for 3 minutes we can get anything from the grocery. And oh, it was so fun. We planned it properly. We got formula, things that we can sell after, like baby formula, like expensive whiskey and
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, you're like, okay, where's the most expensive shit? It's probably in the back. It's probably,
yeah.
you know, they make
But
people
that will
go.
eat time. So we had to
Oh,
really be smart
yes.
about it. One of my sisters was getting like shampoo and like facial wash. My mom was like, "That's stupid. Like, you're just being a girl now." But
Yeah.
it was so fun. But that's because my mom was, very open to these opportunities, and then it's really fun.
I love that idea.
Yeah. And well, the obviously that was a really fun thing. If anyone will experience that,
Yes.
it's almost life. It's almost a core memory for sure. So I know we brushed on this a little bit earlier about leaving a legacy and all that. How often, sorry to change the energy, how often do you like think about death? Do you start thinking about it more as you grow older or less?
Yeah, I would think I think about it often, but not in a depressing way. Just really trying to figure out, you know, it's interesting because I've got kids that are in their, like I said, 19, 22. I've also got a mom who's 80 and, you know, kind of losing her mind a bit. And so I'm like, I'm very aware. I talk to my friends about this, very aware of like this is as good as it gets. Like this is really good. We're not really worried about money. We're still working. Our kids are healthy. Like, and so when I think, I don't know if I think about death as much as I think, like you said, I'm kind of planning my life to assuming that I live to be 80, but also recognizing that I could also die tomorrow. And if I die, like, I think the ultimate would be if, you know, for example, if somebody said, Bob, you've got 2 weeks to live, what would you change? And I'd love to be able to say, I wouldn't change a thing. I've got nothing else to do. I'm happy. I'm good, right? Because I can almost, nobody in my family has lived to be 80, like other than my mom, like nobody. All the men died in their 60s. Or my dad died when he was 47. So yeah, I don't know. I think about it just because I'm very aware of kind of how precious it is and how grateful I am, and that, yep, I could have another 30 or 40 years, or I could have a lot less than that.
Yeah, I think that you and I had the experience of losing our father in our in tw at 23, right? And that changes you.
Yes.
You have these regrets, you have these like, should have spent more time, should have done this. You have some things that you feel bad about, but also it confronts you about how important life is and how precious and short it is. Really, I feel the same way. I feel like if someone also tells me you have 2 weeks to live, I wouldn't really change a lot, except I will not be on social media for sure.
All right.
I will The first thing I'll delete is my LinkedIn. Fuck you,
Yes.
LinkedIn.
Oh God, LinkedIn, that could be a whole other episode.
inbox is worse than my Tinder inbox when I was single, so that's how
Yeah.
bad it
Oh
is
my God.
out there.
That is an interesting, like I said, that could be a whole other conversation because I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn and I do see, I talk to women sometimes. I'm actually recording a podcast on Tuesday with somebody, and that is something that as LinkedIn is social media, I've got a love-hate relationship with it. It's
Same.
done great things for my business, but I hate how I feel compelled to be there when I don't want to be there and show up, etc. But that whole like people hitting on women on LinkedIn, that is something that is would never even occur to me. And it's a whole, and apparently it's a real thing. And I'm like, as a guy, I was like, I can't believe that would even occur to somebody to do that, but it's a real thing. It's a whole other part of LinkedIn that I've never had to deal with.
It's like not only do you have these ugly sales pitches as a girl,
Yeah, I know.
you have these weird things in your inbox too. It's so funny. But yeah, LinkedIn is gonna go away first. Oh, I'm sorry, LinkedIn. We love you, but not every day.
No, I know.
Oh my gosh. What do you think is stops most people from like finding their purpose in life? Is it LinkedIn? I'm just kidding.
I just think it's probably just maybe it's a fear of, usually it comes down to a fear of something. I mean, if for some, I don't think they spend much time on it. Life is busy and it's a luxury. Maybe it's because we have our own businesses and we're busy, but we have the luxury of finding time to think about these things. But yeah, that's a good question. I think this idea of kind of purpose anxiety, I think people have just kind of given up on it. Like, maybe I've given up on finding purpose in my work, I think. People f will search for it in other ways.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that when people say these things like, wow, the year just went by super fast and now it's almost December. And sometimes I even feel that way. I say things like, wow, that week went by so fast. But I think it's mostly because of the autopilot thing. You know, when you're doing something that's super autopilot, like driving to work, it's just it somehow blends in and erases and it's not important anymore. And I think that people either forget their purpose or they don't feel motivated to find their purpose because it's easier. Right? It's like a numbing thing almost. It's like eating fast food. I don't know. And sometimes those are not ugly. They're like ugly conversations to have with yourself because I think that some people, when they reflect on their lives and they're not content or they see some mistakes that they've done, they feel more defeated. And that could go two ways. They could feel suddenly motivated that something has to change, or they kind of just feel helpless.
I mean, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe there's something to this. If I really knew my purpose, then what? Then what? Like,
Right. What am I going to do
then
then?
all of a sudden I'm going to have to do something about that. And
Right.
what if my purpose is that I'm not supposed to be in this marriage or have this job or,
Right.
right?
Yeah,
It's
like the people
terrifying.
that come out late in their life after
Yeah.
they've had kids, or like trans, they become trans, like Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
That's a good specimen of a man, one of the best, actually.
Yeah.
Objectively, wasn't he like an Olympic
Yes. He was
athlete?
on the
Right,
cover of every Wheaties cereal box.
yeah,
Yeah.
this is the top specimen of a man. Yeah, people will be buying his sperm. And now, she's woman of the year or something.
Yeah,
So,
right.
yeah, that's also weird. Like, yeah, that's difficult when you're like, oh, I know my purpose, but I'm a Walmart cashier. What am I
Yeah.
gonna do about it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Do you have friends that you talk to, like, about this topic regularly, and what are those conversations like?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. We've started having them, and it's but it wasn't, it didn't, like my friends I've known for, 20 or 30 years. Yeah, it's not something we've ever talked to. I would say we started having those conversations in the last 2 or 3 years. Some of it is sparked from my podcast, the guests that I've had, because they'll listen to it and be like, oh yeah, that's an interesting take. It's almost like we got to kind of back into it, like, or it's got to it's kind of an awkward thing for a bunch of dudes, and these were like a lot of my kind of drinking buddies for most of my life too, right? So the whole relationship is changing now that we don't have that in common. But yeah, we do have it, and it's also because we're kind of retirement. Like I said, I've got friends of mine that are facing retirement, and they can't wait. And when they're done, they're gonna travel. And I'm like, I kind of feel like I still got one more career in me.
Oh,
Like I'm trying
wow.
to figure out what I want to do for the next 10 years, because you've probably seen a lot of the research. And I heard something really interesting. They were talking about Social Security, and they said, how many years do you think people live after collecting Social Security? And most people say, oh, I don't know, 15 years, 25 years. It's like, it's 8 years. Like once you take that reason for getting up in the morning away, for most people, they just get sick and inactive.
Interesting.
And yeah, so doesn't
Interesting.
mean I want to be working till the day I die, but I'm not in any rush to stop working.
Yeah, me too, actually. I always make a joke about how I want my husband to retire me, or I just want to be a stay-at-home mom and go to Pilates. And my husband always laughs, and he's like,
Right.
you won't be able to sit still. You'll start writing, you'll start doing something that challenges you, that you probably even start a career in chess. I don't know, you're gonna do something. I think that definitely helps. There are new kind of branches of medicine. I'd be curious to, I would recommend that you read about it, because I think you will be really curious about it. But when the pandemic blew up, there were different ideologies or approaches to medicine that came out, right? Like holistic medicine, functional medicine, like these all alternative types of medicine. But one thing that really caught my eye was German New Medicine. And the principle of German New Medicine is that every illness is tied to something emotional, and that stress is the biggest cause of cancer and things like that. They had a lot of studies. It makes sense, actually. One of the things that I read about was that flu, every time you have flu, it is always tied to a loss of territory. And that's why when COVID blew up, people had flu, this special flu, which was COVID. It's because we were stripped off of our identities, our jobs, right? We were being scared. If you don't wear a mask, you're killing your grandma or things like that. There was a very high divorce rate. So we were experiencing a huge lo territorial loss in different areas of our life. And then, of course, we had no, ex you know, very low vitamin D because of the sun and whatever. And you're all stressed out, so it made people more sick. So I really, that checks out what you said, that after retirement, if they don't find their purpose. Have you seen that documentary on Netflix, the centenarians, the 100,
Oh
the
yeah, I watched a little
yeah
bit of that. Yeah.
yeah so all of the centenarians had they still had they still did something. Some I think someone was even fixing sewing machines, and I'm like, don't you have to have really good eyesight to do that?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, yeah, apparently gardening is like one of the best things for you. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm 54. I don't know if I could garden. All that bending and squatting and like crawling around on my hands and knees. I'm like, I can see how that would keep you really nimble and flexible in a way that like I have to do a half hour of stretching a day just to be able to, go out and do some of that. So yeah, there's probably something to that. I probably should get into that stuff where it's like,
Start slow.
yeah, it's like this idea, right? That this exercise and stretching all has to be a separate thing we do in our day. Like what if your job required you to do all of those things? You would probably, yeah, you'd live to be 100.
They did a study. They did a study on housekeeping, people in
Yeah.
housekeeping having the healthiest, the best health in the whole hotel. Like the roster of employees
Yeah.
in the hotel. It's not the front desk. It's actually the housekeeping, because they move a lot. They move all day. And a lot of the housekeeping people I know have very positive attitudes, maybe because they want a tip, or they just kind of they just you know, that's their life, and they feel grateful to have a job or something like that. I recently watched the Martha Stewart documentary, and there was a quote there which was like, if you want to be happy for a very long time, you should start gardening. So, I've lived in condos, Bob, for like 10 years. So you kind of made me think, huh? Maybe you should start a garden.
My wife does a lot of gardening, but I'm not allowed near the gardens. Like I take care of the pool and the grass. And because I think like 20 years ago, I tore out a bunch of things that looked like weeds and they were her prized tulips or
Oh
poppies or
my,
something.
tulips, not the
And
tulips.
yeah, I don't know. It's just weeds and lumps to me. So yeah,
Yeah,
so
oh my gosh,
I'm
that's
not
funny.
allowed near it. But maybe I'll have to get my own garden. Like I could probably do vegetables. I could see
Yeah,
that. Yeah.
especially if you cook. I heard it's really rewarding. I had a little
Yeah.
vegetable garden when I was a kid. It made me so happy, the tomatoes. I was like, Mom, you don't have to buy a tomato. I got you. I was so proud. I was so proud that I got her a tomato for my garden.
And they really are so good. Like we've got a few little cherry tomato trees. I'm like, oh my God. Like, what is wrong with the cherry tomatoes we buy at the supermarket? Because these ones that we grow are just like, it's like candy.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's different. Yeah, that's very rewarding. I have a flower shop, so
Oh,
I'm very, I mean, I don't plant the flowers, but I
right.
would love to have my own like rose garden, especially the roses are now GMO'd to not have thorns, right? Like I think you and I we at the time we were like what we thought of roses was that they had thorns, right? Have you
Yeah.
noticed lately they don't have thorns anymore?
Really, I
So
didn't know that.
oh no, you don't buy enough roses for your wife.
I guess not. And now
But take a look.
what's poison going to sing about now if ro if every rose doesn't have its thorns?
Right? Yeah,
Yeah.
they're gonna
You have to
sing.
rewrite it.
Exactly.
Some roses have its thorns. It's not the same.
It's not the same anymore. Yeah. Well, maybe Bed of Roses now makes more sense because
Right.
before my dad was like, he sings that song karaoke a lot, Bed of Roses, and then like that doesn't make sense. It has thorns. Like
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
wow, okay. Well, that's a really good ad for
Yes.
a garden. Okay, well, it seems like because you've had a long career with the different jobs that you had, can you share a little bit about these jobs? And as kind of a closing or a finale thing, what is your advice to kids who are thinking about their purpose in life?
Just follow your curiosity.
That's good advice.
Yeah, I think, and that cure and what you're curious about will change. But I just think there's so many people that chase, money or, a job that they think will make them happy. And if it's something that you're curious about, it's okay if you have a job for a year or two and be like, yeah, I thought this would be interesting. I don't like it. Because I really do think we've got to get more comfortable, not, like my wife or our grandparents having one career for 30 years. I don't think that's ever going to happen again. I think people are going to go through multiple careers, stay curious, chase things that you think you'll be interested in. And, the old adage, find something you love and never work a day in your life. It took me my whole life to kind of figure that out, but I think there's a lot of truth in it.
What was that company that had a slogan, "Take your pleasure seriously"?
Oh, I don't know. Sounds like an interesting company.
Sounds like a gentleman's club.
Yeah. Or like Ashley Madison or something. Remember that
Oh
site?
my God, you're right. Yeah, but I hope it's not that. I think they had a good slogan though. I mean, from a marketer's point of view,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
what was it? Life is short, have an affair.
Yes, that's right. Because there's a Netflix show. That's why I was thinking about it.
Right,
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, okay. So I did a quick Google. Take your pleasure seriously. It's a quote attributed to Charles and Ray Eames, who lived this ma mantra by hosting picnics on their office lawn. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, okay. Take your
Yeah.
pleasure seriously. I like that.
Yeah, but it sounds like something bad, no? Like a
Yeah.
cigarette or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I love that. Oh, Bob, this is such a great way to spend my Sunday afternoon. Thank you so much. And you mentioned your podcast, and I'm sure so many people will be curious about it. What do you talk about? Tell us your podcast name. We're also going to link it on the show notes. And we would also love to find out how people can find you, how people want to work with you, or maybe pitch you something to get curious about.
Yeah, well, it's called the Growth Mixtape, and it's actually maybe we talked about this. It's a bit like this podcast and this conversation. It's just a collection of people that do interesting work that's way outside kind of my comfort zone. And it's just amazing to hear people's stories and to see what we can learn from one another. And a lot like this conversation, absolutely loved it. You know, this isn't a conversation that I'd have with anybody else on any other Sunday. It's just what the doctor ordered, and I really enjoyed it. So I loved it.
Thank you. The Growth Mixtape, we're going to link it on the show notes. And what keeps you busy right now? I'm sure a lot of people are also curious, like, what are you working on and how can they work with you?
Yeah, well, I'm just starting season two of the podcast, and I work with any businesses that are looking to grow, keep their customers, create better relationships, and maximize their revenue from every customer relationship. So a lot of tech companies, but also companies in retail, hospitality, manufacturing. Hey, everybody's got customers. Everybody needs to keep them and keep them happy and make more money from them. So you can check out my website if you're interested at bobmathers.ca, but I hang out a lot on LinkedIn, just like you, and you'll see me spewing all sorts of ideas on there, some of which are great, some of which stink, but I'm there almost every day.
All right, we're also going to link Bob's website and LinkedIn so you can follow him. And then you can see all the exciting things he's doing for customer success. Honestly, it's one of the most underrated industries right now. I also personally believe that companies should invest more in the customers that they already have, the hottest and warmest affiliates you will ever have, your really best secret for growth. You don't have to go on Reddit to find out what your best customers want from you. They are right there in front of you, and they're even paying you money. So, guys, definitely pay attention to that industry. If there's anything businessy that you're gonna take away from this conversation, that's it. So thank you so much, Bob, and I had so much fun. And for everyone listening, it would really, really mean a lot to me if you could leave a review or if you can leave a comment, anything that you were able to think about, journal about, or realize from this conversation. I would love to hear from you guys. Find me on Instagram. And Carla Stefano also linked my profile. Thank you so much. This has been a great episode, and I'll see you guys next Monday for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.